Hi, this is Disney historian Jim Corcus, and I'm listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 15 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's guest is Chris Salata. I first met Chris at the Disney Indie Meet last summer, and since then we have had numerous multi-hour-long conversations. Today's episode goes a little bit long, so bear with us. One of the things that Chris enjoys most about Disney is taking photographs, and he sent me a ton of great photographs that really highlight how his kids grew up Disney. Be sure to check out the show notes, mydvcpoints.com/015. Let's jump into this interview. I'd like to welcome to the show, Chris Salata.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fabulous, my friend. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Chris, tell me a little bit about yourself and your family.
Sure. Chris Salata is the name, and I live in the Midwest near Chicago. And I'm married with my wife, Kathy. I've got two awesome kids, one who's in college, one who's in high school. We've been members over at Saratoga Springs for about 11 years now, joined up in 2007. The interesting part is that I will tell you this, is that we've been huge Disney fans for about 20 years now. And while it took a little while for my wife to convince me that going on a Disney vacation would be good for the family, the fact of the matter is, from that very first trip that we did, I was hooked.
Okay. And so I'm just doing the math here. 20 years Disney experience, 11 years DVC members. So you had a 9-year period there before you took the hook, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the interesting part is that I kind of thought not too long ago how I kind of got started into even being interested in DVC. And the funny part about it was, is I remember staying at Port Orleans Riverside. Everybody else was asleep. I was laying in bed, still kind of wired from travel. Flip on the TV, and you end up flipping through the channels, and you run into the channel that talks about Disney Vacation Club. And so I'm kind of like, oh, what is Disney Vacation Club? And they start talking about it. And the interesting part is that they were very upfront back then, I should say, where they were like, you know, memberships start at $12,000. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm turning on a different channel because this is obviously not something I can do. But then I got to thinking, what kind of money was I actually talking about? And it took us a number of years of going back and forth and, of course, job and home situations just to make sure that I could actually afford something like that. By the time we did it, obviously the price went up dramatically. And it was one of those cases.
12 grand is nothing for DVC today.
No,
right?
It wasn't. They were just starting to build Saratoga. They didn't even crack ground on it yet, but that was the one that they were going to be talking about the most. The interesting part to it is that by the time we came along, I was like, darn, someone asked, what's your biggest regret? I said, not doing this sooner. But it was really kind of interesting. I mean, I had to wait to become a DVC member because I knew it was a long-term investment. And I say investment as an investment in my vacation time, so to speak. Well, it's still a lot of money. It was even more of a financial stretch for us at that time. And it was worth the wait, but I wish I would have done it sooner. But sometimes you just have to wait for good things.
Well, when you first heard of DVC, they were marketing Saratoga, right? What were they marketing when you did buy in?
It was a combination of Saratoga as well as Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, okay. And so did you buy your membership direct or did you go through resale?
I did buy it direct. I actually went through the guide that first introduced himself to us when we started talking about our options with DVC. And that was our guide for like the previous 2 years, because it took us 2 years to finally make a financial decision for this. Because there were other things that we were trying to take care of, like building a house and things like that. So
getting retirement, college funded, kind of fun stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, life.
Yep.
And so, you know, the thing is that we did buy directly. And at that time, to be very honest, we didn't really have a good insight as to what the resale market even consisted of back then. I mean, if you think about it, 10, 11 years ago, there wasn't as much social media presence in this world that made it so easy to find out about those particular items. And whereas nowadays, it's so simple to find out information about Disney Vacation Club, as well as the options are available to both new members as well as those who want to add on points after becoming members.
Or even find a great podcast that interviews members, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, looking back at your family situation, how old were your kids when you bought in?
That's a really good question. When we bought in, my son was only about, he was only about 4 years old, about 3 or 4 years old at the time. Daughter, she was in her early teens at that time. So yeah, I have my son and my daughter have a good 10-year time span because life sometimes has a sense of humor. And So having them 10 years apart from one another, there was a little bit of consideration for that. But even now with my daughter in grad school, my son in high school, it was the right time to buy in because they both enjoyed Disney vacations. Both of them enjoyed them a little bit differently, but that was just a really cool dynamic of our family.
That is something that I plan on doing a future show on as well, is talking with kids that have grown up Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Because DVC is a lifestyle once you come in. You take the same vacation every year for decades. That's a lifestyle habit.
Oh, I totally agree. And it's to the point now where a lot of what we try to do now is we plan our trips around our kids' school schedules. It was a little bit easier when my daughter was doing her undergrad work. Now that she's in grad school, all bets are off. In fact, this will probably be the first year that we do a Disney vacation without my daughter altogether. That's a little bit challenging for her. Obviously, she's got a passion for what she's studying, so she's all good with it. But even the last time that we had scheduling conflicts in the summertime, my daughter was still taking summer's classes during her undergrad work. We actually surprised my son by flying in my daughter a couple days after we arrived at Disney and have her join us. Because my daughter and my son, it's been a blessing because they have a very close relationship to one another. They love each other a lot. And it just actually makes traveling a whole lot easier because we don't usually have strife between our kids, which is great. And I don't take that for granted either.
No, trust me. I think a lot of listeners can appreciate that. I know I sure can.
Absolutely.
So you talked about planning vacations. Are you a 7-month or an 11-month kind of planner or last minute, someplace in between?
That's a really good question. We are definitely the 11-month type of people. And the nice part is that we usually know what we're going to be doing. And it's usually right around that 11-month mark when we go ahead and get our reservation in for Saratoga. Now, we also book it in mind that things might change, and that's okay. We do like to switch things up at the 7-month mark, but well, we bought into Saratoga mainly because at that time it was rather low on the overall cost of ownership. It's also a very large resort, as many people know, which actually makes it easier to find a spot as time goes on. There are some resorts where you have to book at 11 month or you're pretty much going to be out of luck. For Saratoga, even if you get at 10 months or 9 months, you'll have a little bit more chance to get it, even though you might still not have 100% flexibility.
It seems like tree houses are the thing that sells out the most.
You know, that's one area of that resort that I have not yet tried. I really want to try that out one time.
Oh my God, the tree houses are incredible.
Keep hearing that, and it just makes me want to consider that. But yeah, I really want to try those tree houses up. I mean, I saw them when they were going up. They swapped them out for the old tree houses they had when they were part of the Disney Institute. I so want to give them a try.
They are glamping, and I've had a couple people ask me to do a review show on them, which will be coming soon. Sometime in 2019.
Excellent.
So you book Saratoga at the 11-month window. Does your family like Saratoga, or do you try to pivot at the 7-month? How do you do this?
The interesting part is that it actually, after like the first year, we didn't actually go back to Saratoga until only a few years ago. So there was like a good 6-7 year time span where we didn't actually stay at Saratoga at all. It was just one of those cases where we always pivoted to other resorts. Animal Kingdom Lodge tends to be the one that I could say in the past 10 years that we have stayed at the most. We've stayed at all the resorts with the exception of, I should clarify, we stayed at all the Walt Disney World location resorts, with the exception that we have not yet tried the actual DVC rooms over at the Polynesian as of yet, though we have been to the Polynesian on just regular cash
rooms.
So the thing is that we do like Saratoga. We really enjoy the idea that it is big, so we don't have to worry about getting a room there. In fact, I've been able to extend our trip while at Walt Disney World just by getting one night at Saratoga at the end. And so if you play your cards right, you can actually do something like that, which is really nice. I just borrowed 9 points and boom, I got myself a room to stay one more day. We do like it. We like the vicinity to Disney Springs. We really find that the restaurants there are nice. It's just really homey. And quite honestly, we do like to stay over at the Congress Park area. And I love just sitting, watching the boats and the amphibicars go by and watching the nightlife over at Disney Springs at night. That's how I relax over there. And we've started actually staying there more over the past couple of years. If I'm not mistaken, our 2019 trips will actually both be at Saratoga this year.
Excellent. Now, Congress Park, that's the preferred section, right?
Yes, between Congress Park and the Springs area are the two preferred areas on the property this year.
That is really cool because you're a Saratoga owner and you actually like Saratoga.
Yes, I actually do. And I know that a lot of people think that Saratoga is kind of like the least deluxe of the DVC resorts. And while I can understand there might be some correlation to that just because of how the buildings are set up or, you know, that it's not necessarily a completely indoor corridored type of room. Personally, I really like them. I like the location. Yes, it's a little bit further away from some parks than the others. But at the same time, I do think that as a member, I'm still getting a very good value for what I end up having to pay on an annual basis, as well as what I paid to become a member. And of course, availability is key. And because we are planners, availability has never really been an issue for us.
Yes. Saratoga, it's the largest resort. So it tends to be the last one to sell out as well.
Exactly. The interesting part is, though, it does sell out. And or I should say, the types of rooms that are available do become limited. So there is the case of don't take it for granted that it's big. You still have to have some level of planning to enjoy them during a time that you want to be a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, do you typically stay in studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms?
Lately, we've been staying in studios so we could stay a little bit longer. However, we really super enjoy one bedroom villas, mainly because of, not necessarily because of the full kitchen, although it's nice to have a fridge that you can put a lot of soda and water in there, but it's for the laundry facilities that are in the room. It helps us keep down the amount that we have to bring from a packing perspective. It's my wife actually is like, I don't want to do laundry when I get home. And it's just easy to throw what you wore that day in there with a little laundry pod, shut the door and be
boom,
done with it.
Done.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'll be really honest. When I first joined, I'm like, why would I want to do laundry? And then we went on our first trip in August. And to put some context around that, you know, the fact of the matter is you could go ahead and dress in the lightest clothes that you can possibly imagine. You're still going to open up that door and it is still going to be the hotter than the hinges of Hades. And it's going to be as muggy as the jungle in Central Florida. I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of the weather in Florida. It is it just is the way it is. By the time you're halfway through the day, obviously, I mean,
let's just get out with it, right?
You stink, you know, the clothes stand up on themselves. And we also learned around that time when we started taking more vacations in the summer, mainly because of school schedules at that time for both my kids, we actually started to really enjoy spending time at the resorts. So enjoying the pool, enjoying community hall, doing some of the activities at the different resorts, what really became a key component of our vacation time. That would also be one of those cases where, yes, you would still take your clothes, throw them in the wash, you do a load of laundry midday, and you change into something else for the evening hours, because we would typically go back to another park and, you know, enjoy a fireworks show, or we'll go out to dinner or what have you at night. And that's when you just kind of alternate different types of clothes and so on and so forth. But having that washer and dryer there makes a huge, huge difference.
Oh, it does. Let's not forget that the key point here, you are in Central Florida in the summer and it's going to rain every single day. So not only if you don't stink, you're at least going to have wet clothes that you need to change to something dry in. There's a good chance of that happening as well.
Oh my gosh, you are telling the truth in more ways than one. I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you didn't get your clothes all smelly just from being hot and sweaty, you just don't want to feel like a wet dog. It's as simple as that. It just makes sense. And I'll tell you right now, even though like right now we're doing studios a little more often in order to stay a little bit longer.
Yep, stretch the points.
We stretched the points out. We still take time to do the same thing. We'll do a load of laundry or two throughout the week. We'll go ahead and enjoy pools and this and the other just to kind of relax. Because what people don't realize is that there is so much stimuli between the smells, the sights, the sounds at a park that after a while, you become a little bit fatigued. And we found this out as my son kind of grew up Disney. You know, my son did 3 trips to Central Florida before he was 3, including one Disney cruise, I might add. The fact of the matter is that as he got older...
That's a well-traveled little kid.
Oh my gosh. He wasn't even 1 yet, had a good status on frequent flyer miles. Part is that we found out that he really got overstimulated. Is that the way you would put it?
I'll buy that.
Yeah. So we would go back to the pool. We would go back to the resort. And after about a half an hour, he's happy as a clam again. And once we figured that out, we avoided a lot of meltdowns. And
that is key.
It is. It really is. And so we kind of recognize that with him. And the cool part about it is that we've actually integrated that type of pattern even today. Even as my son is a teenager, my daughter is an adult, we still like to go back to the resort, chill out, do different things. And it just adds more to our Disney experience because the resorts, I don't think they're as utilized as well as they could or should be. And if you're staying at a resort like Animal Kingdom Lodge, regardless if you're at Jumbo House or Kidani Village, if you're staying, especially like a beach club or boardwalk, all these places have great recreation. And you're missing out if you're at the parks. And once you keep going to the parks over and over again, it just changes it up. So you look forward to those little bits of downtime away from the parks.
That's it. I have often stated that each one of these DVC resorts could be a standalone destination entity in and of themselves.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, the fact of the matter is, while I have not yet done a resorts only or a parkless trip yet, the fact of the matter is that my wife and I have talked about the advent of doing things like that in the future, especially over the past few years. My wife and I would actually take some time to go on a vacation, just the two of us. And while we still go to the parks, there were a few times where we would actually spend more time doing other things at the resorts or Disney Springs or going to a resort to do certain things. And it was wonderful. I didn't feel like I missed out because I wasn't in a park. And I'll tell you right now, I'll confess it to everybody listening. My wife got me to do a spa treatment at the Saratoga Springs Spa, the Census Spa there. And yes,
man card alert.
I turned it in. I turned in my man card. And the funny part about it is that I'm like, oh my gosh, I just could not believe how wonderful of an experience that was. We went back and did it again the second time. We're like, oh my gosh. So yes, I will admit, I like the spa over at Saratoga. I'll tell you that right now.
You are not the first person who has told me incredible things about that spa.
They're true. They're all true. And the thing of it is, and here's a little tip for people. You know, if you have an appointment at, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, they want you to get there about a half an hour beforehand so they can give you a little bit of a tour of the facility and, and kind of explain what's going on. But the biggest thing is that you have access to the lounge and the what they call the relaxation room, which is just basically a really nice lounge area. And the fact of the matter is that last year, for a great example, we had a spa treatment later in the afternoon. It was like 4 o'clock or something like that. And so we got there about 3:30, got all relaxed, had our treatment done, and we hung out in the relaxation room for about another hour, just kind of really basking in the relaxation. They have some light snacks and some citrus water there and so on and so forth. And to sit around in the comfy robe and the slippers and the quiet music, it was very, very relaxing. And it was very nice for my wife and I to just do something like that together. It was a nice reconnection for us. And afterwards, we just took a nice little stroll back to our room because we were staying at Saratoga. We changed and we took a minivan over to the Yacht Club and had an absolutely stunning dinner at the Yachtsman Steakhouse. As an adult, doing those types of things, didn't need to be at a park. We did the spa treatment. We had a beautiful dinner and just enjoyed a little bit of an adults-only trip.
Well, Chris, I'm going to tell you, this episode probably won't air before Christmas. So I can go ahead and tell you this, but my wife is now getting a Disney spa gift card Ooh. Or a prepaid treatment on our next trip just because of your review. So
I think it's going to be well worth it. Oh, you have to. And I'll go ahead and tell you, my wife and I have done the couples massage, and that was fabulous. So I'll just tell you there now.
Okay, Chris, you're pushing me here, buddy.
You know what? I'll admit, no pressure. No. Oh, by the way, and the thing is, I'll tell you right now, DVC members, as long as you have a blue card, in most cases that requires owning a contract you bought direct from Disney, DVC members do get some pretty good discounts or have some free add-ons, some of those spa treatments. So it's always good to check with the person that's taking your reservation to see if there's any specials that are involved for DVC members. Yeah, I'll admit it. The first time I did it, I was nervous. I didn't really like the idea of someone touching me or anything like that, to be very, very honest. And they were very, very sensitive. They were very understanding of my apprehension. They were, it just made me so comfortable. It's like, yes, if you do that, I guarantee your next trip it'll be just fabulous.
What do you think, Chris? Do I just break down and do the couples one for her, or do I do the I bought you the nicer package to go by yourself thing?
Personally, I think you should try the couples massage. I really honestly do. I know it really requires stepping out of a comfort zone, but it's one of those things where it was really nice to be able to share my experience and talk about it with my wife afterwards. And I know that sounds kind of weird. I know that sounds a little lovey-dovey type of thing. I my wife and I have been married for 21 years. And the fact of the matter is that she's like, I told you, you'd really like it. I'm like, you're wrong. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I really loved it. And the fact of the matter is, because I was able to share that same experience with her, and it's because you're both in the same room together and you have two different massage therapists that are working on you, it really just made it a really beautiful experience for both of us. And that was my take. And I think it helped me take away some of my nervousness, knowing that my wife was there too.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I if she says anything, it's because this episode, right? And we'll come back and we'll do an update. Maybe I'll join me on a Facebook Live or something like that and give everybody an update on this one. That'd be awesome. I've been looking for something else other than just my standard, every time I go to Disney, I buy her a Disney Christmas ornament deal. Okay. That's just like my go-to. Okay. Every time I set foot on Disney, I'm coming home with an ornament because it's her birthday or Christmas or something's coming down the pipe and boom, I don't have to think about a gift. I just go to the closet and pull it out. It's like, which one of these am I giving her now? I just keep a little stock. This will mix it up and take it to the next level, Chris. I'm hope.
I will also say this. The spa over at Saratoga is a little bit bigger and some would say more luxurious than the Census spa that's over at the Grand Floridian. My wife actually took a tour of the spa over at the Grand Floridian before in the past. And in case people are wondering about the spa over at the Grand Floridian, which is right directly across from the entrance of The villas at the Grand Floridian, I might add, the one at Saratoga is much bigger, much more luxurious, and really felt more of a spa experience is what a lot of people have said.
This summer, we're staying at Bay Lake, but I will take your word on it and book Saratoga just because.
I certainly hope you enjoy it, and I'm hoping to hear more about that after it happens.
That'll be phenomenal follow-up content, Chris.
So. Cool. Awesome.
I don't know if you see this on your show, but every time I talk with somebody, my Disney bucket list grows. Every interview I do, I add something onto my Disney bucket list.
I will admit that I have very similar problems, especially when someone asks in our community, like, hey, has anybody done this? And I thought to myself, wait a second, I don't have an answer for that one because I haven't done that one yet. And I'd really like to give that a try. Yeah. So it's kind of nice because you hear about what other people want to do and it gives you ideas about things that you have never thought that you would want to do. But the more that you go to Disney, I don't want to say that the parks lose the focus, but you actually gain a wider focus of what's available there. You tend to want to do more. And that is when you hear from other people and your bucket list is inspired.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why people listen to the podcast in the first place is they want to know what other people have done, what has worked out for well for them and how I do Disney and how you do Disney.
Absolutely.
Right. And so we can alter how we do Disney next time.
Well, the interesting part is that the motto on my show is everybody does Disney differently. And that kind of fits right into that mindset.
I always tell myself as well, there's no such thing as a bad day at Disney because a bad day at Disney is still better than a good day in the office. There's just, I mean, is that not truth?
It's absolute truth. I mean, the fact of the matter is, yes, sometimes you have to deal with that last day. You know, you have to get back on the Tragical Express or you have to go back up north or however it's put. You know, the fact of the matter is that it can be raining cats and dogs the entire time. And it can be totally beautiful, sunny here in the Midwest. I'm still at Disney and I'm still going to have a great time. I'm going to put on my rain gear, which is either a poncho or I have a rain jacket that I put on and I just keep going. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, it's just one of those cases where I just have to be careful about my camera equipment because I do a lot of photography at the parks. I just make sure I take the right waterproof camera for the day. And then just go with it. And I just don't let the... I want to share a quick story. Hurricane Jean back 10, 12 years ago came in through Central Florida. And I knew it was going to be coming through during my vacation.
Uh-oh. And,
yeah, it was one of those things. And we were going to be doing a land and sea vacation. And I was in Colorado for a business trip. And I saw it coming. And my wife was really concerned about what we were going to do. I had a close friend of mine that was living in the Orlando area at the time, and he always said, hey, if you ever want a place to stay, just let me know. I said, let's see if I could put this a little bit to the test. And so I called him up and said, remember how you said that your door is always open? He goes, absolutely. What's up? I was wondering if I can come down later this week, right before our vacation. He goes, you mean before the hurricane? I said, yeah, because if I don't get down there now, I'll never get down there because they're going to close the airport again. He goes, hey, that's a pretty good point. Let's have a hurricane party. And so I arranged it that he was going to pick me up from the airport because this was before DME. I call up the airline and I said, this is what I'd like to do. I know that you're changing flights free of charge. They're like, yes, that's not a problem. We got you on a flight the day before. You do realize that you're going into a hurricane zone. I said, yes, I do. And she's like, I hear the clickety clickety click of the keyboard. She goes, okay, Mr. Saletta, your flight has been changed. Same exact flight number, same time, just one day earlier. And sure enough, I made it down there right at the calm of the storm. We went through Hurricane Jean. I missed one day of my vacation. My friends took us over to the beach club where we were staying and started my Disney vacation. And the great part about it is that after the hurricane, the humidity was down and so were the crowds. So sometimes, just goes to show. You know, even a hurricane at Disney could be better than your best day at work.
That is very true. That is very true. Now, Chris, you picked up a couple of points that I want to come back in and circle in on.
Sure.
Just, we touched on laundry and how that's, well, extremely valuable to both of our families. What about the kitchens? the kitchen in the deluxe studio or the one bedroom when you do it? Do you guys utilize the kitchens at all? Or
actually, we do. And I would say that during the first few trips that we actually had one bedroom rooms.
Villas. Yeah.
Villas, yes. And we actually did order groceries in, and I would cook breakfast. And it would be quick things, like I would make sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits. You know, it's really easy to do, and I'm a big breakfast person. I can cook up a storm breakfast while the kids are getting ready, while my wife's getting ready, and I'm an early riser. So while everybody's getting ready, I would have, you know, some biscuit sandwiches ready for everybody, and even to the point where we would take one and kind of snack on it on the way to the bus, really wasn't a problem. And even with a studio villa, the nice part about it is that we would get a small pack of eggs or something like that. And I actually have a microwave egg maker, a little omelet maker. And granted, there are some people that are probably thinking, oh my gosh, I hate microwave eggs. Okay, it's not the best. But I crack a couple eggs, kind of scramble them in the dish a little bit, cook it up. In about 2 or 3 minutes, I can get myself a little bit of a sandwich. Great protein, because I try to do a little bit of a lower carb diet myself. Go ahead and eat that. My kids would join in on that with me a little bit. They would have like a bagel or some Pop-Tarts, or, you know, something else that we would pack with us. And the nice part is, you know, you pack the food in your luggage, and then as that is consumed, you have more room for, of course, souvenirs and other take homes. And so we actually do utilize the kitchen areas to a certain extent. We don't cook in the rooms as much outside of the breakfast items, but I will say that the full-size fridge at the one bedrooms and larger villas really do come in handy for putting a case of water in there or a case of Diet Pepsi in there, or my favorite, gallons of green tea. And because I'll be honest, people don't realize hydrate, and that includes hydrate once you get back to your room, especially before you go to bed. We try to do that. And because we drive down probably more than 90% of the time, we'll do a stop at a local mega mart of some sort in order to pick up on some of those, what are usually non-perishable staples, and consume them while we're there. And it works out really well for us.
Yeah, that was another question that I had. Staying at Saratoga, you drive, so you've got a car there, correct?
We do. And we actually, we probably have been driving down for the past 10 years most of the time. Last year, I think, was the first time that we did a family vacation via plane for the first time. And mainly it was because we also brought the son-in-law candidate, my daughter's fiance, to do his first Disney trip with us. So we actually flew down instead. It was just going to be easier for us. But we usually do road trips. And for us, it's kind of like I have more time than money. So going down actually saves a lot when it comes to travel. And I have enough vacation time where it's not a problem. And the nice part is that the way that my family budget is set up, I actually just have a line item in my budget for transportation and maintenance. And the nice part is that whatever I don't spend on that go, which is actually a part of my Disney budget, I might add, it goes to maintain our vehicles, because each one of my vehicles is set up in such a way where I can jump in one of my vehicles right now, head down for the 1200 mile trip and not have to worry about it. That's how I maintain my vehicles and keep it all in within a budget. And then I know that I'm ready for my Disney trips. Oh yeah.
Oh, most excellent. Now, if you do fly, do you rent a car or you just do the Magical Express?
Just do Magical Express. Our big thing is that even when we drive down, our truck usually just sits in the parking lot. We don't drive to the parks. We don't drive really pretty much anywhere. We pretty much just rely on Disney transportation, maybe the occasional Uber, maybe the occasional minivan. But usually those are far and few between. We pretty much solely rely on Disney transportation.
Oh, most excellent. If you got the time and you're just going to relax and enjoy the trip, Disney transportation will get the job done.
Oh, I completely agree. And I do know that there are some guests that sometimes think that that they have some extended waits. Yes, it does happen. But, you know, we did do some unscientific tests. And there were times where actually have our vehicle at the parks, and then I would, in essence, race my family back to the room. And I would take the truck, and my wife and my kids would go ahead and take a bus or whatever form of transportation. And there was such a small difference in time that overall it wasn't worth it to us. And I realized for some people it would be, you know, still very advantageous to have your own car there because of your family situation. Hey, that's great. But we kind of just saw it and proved it to ourselves how we vacation. It just makes more sense just to use Disney transportation.
You mentioned earlier your touring plan, and I want to come in and see how the Salada House does Disney. You mentioned going to the parks in the morning, coming back, and then doing something else. What does a typical day at Disney look like for you guys?
We do try to get up early, and sometimes that doesn't always work out. But we do try to get up early enough to make it for rope drop at whatever we decide to be the park of the day. And a lot of times that is determined by either a dining reservation, or we do try to follow one of the more popular crowd calendars that are out there available to guests today. What is determined about where we go afterwards kind of depends on weather as well as what kind of nighttime spectacular we would like to see. And I say it like that because weather actually plays a big role, mainly because if the nighttime spectacular that we want to see is going to be really sensitively impacted by, say, rain. For example, I'd love to go to either Magic Kingdom or Epcot during those nights where it might rain, simply because I'm not going to be really too worried about many of the attractions that we would like to attend. Most of the things are indoors.
You do both ends then, right? Rope drop and the nighttime shows.
We do. And most of the time, if there's like, say, a late night magic hours, like a extra magic hours that are past closing, 9 times out of 10, my son and my wife will actually go back to the room and call it a night early. My daughter and I are the night owls. We tend to go to a park that's going to be open late. And I will tell you right now, I am one of those people that even after park official closing, my daughter and I are the kinds of people that we're still walking around. We kind of make sure that we are at the farthest part of the park away from the gates. And we slowly work our way back. And it's not to try to do attractions, but we take a lot of nighttime photography.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, it's a craft. And it's something that my daughter and I have bonded over. And we actually call it garbage can photography, because a lot of times I have a little itty bitty tripod, put my camera on a garbage can. We do a lot of long exposure shots. It's a lot of fun. And so we'll be that guest that'll really be waiting for a bus for a little while after we get there, and there's nobody around because we took an hour to leave the parks. We know that we're not the last people out, but we just enjoy that time. And it's a little bit of a time where, yeah, sure, we're extending our time in the park, but I make memories with my family. And to me, that is a big part of it, especially as my daughter is getting older. I don't want to miss out on those opportunities. It's something that we've become close over. And now my son is getting a little bit older. He's getting more into photography. And now he wants to learn, you know, some of my tricks of the trade as well. It's going to be something that'll probably start happening more with him as long as he can stay awake.
Very, very, very nice. Thanks for sharing that story. Is there any other traditions that have developed? Because, I mean, DVC members, we go every year or at least every other year. So we tend to develop traditions. Is there any other traditions that are in the Salada home?
There are a few different types of traditions. Because we do a lot of photography and we love pictures and we love Memory Maker, we have certain poses that we like to do as a family, especially on our last day where we're kind of like waving goodbye to the castle or something like that. And usually we'll have, at that point, we might have like a certain themed shirt on or something like that. We're not one of those family that like has matching shirts all trip long, but every once in a while we'll have a certain type of shirt that we'll wear together, kind of a theme for the vacation. We'll do that. We'll like kind of be like waving goodbye to the castle or something, and the PhotoPass photographer will take that type of picture for us. And I would probably also say that other traditions are, I'll say it right now, there are a lot of them are food based. Traditions like we will have to go get a Dole Whip. We will have to go get a Mickey Premium ice cream bar. We have so many things that we do it's hard to say if we have any special traditions outside of the pictures.
Well, those sound pretty incredible. I'm going to ask for some for the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll link those up for the listeners.
I will say this. One thing that my daughter and I also really enjoyed, and I have a few of these pictures, and I've got to find them. Before they took the Streets of America down over at Hollywood Studios, they had the facade of the different apartment buildings, the different brownstones and things like that. And my daughter always wanted me to take what we'd like to call the music album cover type photo. And so she would kind of sit down, leaning back on one of the stairs, like she was posing for an album cover. She did that a number of years in a row. And it's just hilarious to see how she kind of, I'll say, evolved in her posing and hammery, so to speak. It was always really something cool that she and I did. I would probably also say other traditions would certainly include going to Disney Springs, hitting up the Lego store, hitting up World of Disney on the last day, and really just super enjoying the last bit of shopping on that last day. We usually always pick a final meal. A lot of times over the past several years, it's been Olivia's over at Old Key West. And we would make special trips out to Olivia's over there just because the food and the service is so good. That used to be our final meal is to go over there. Then we would.
Olivia's is the last meal. That's another great one.
It is. And Olivia's is absolutely fabulous restaurant. I don't want to say it's a hidden gem. I don't really want to say, hey, everybody, go to Olivia's because it's fabulous, because I don't want it to don't want it to get so popular that people go there. Make sure you edit that out. It's just one of those things. You know, we do that and we kind of just sit back. We sigh a little bit and okay, it's time to go. And
another great vacation's in the books.
Absolutely. And we actually start planning the next one on the way home. So it's kind of fun.
That is the great thing about DVC. Chris, one of the things that I haven't done yet, and I try to do this with all of my guests, is the rapid fire questions.
Sure.
So Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
Dole Whip for me, Mickey Bar for everybody else.
Churro or Mickey Pretzel?
Oh, Mickey Pretzel.
Poncho or umbrella?
Poncho.
Do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
Oh, I rock a t-shirt.
Favorite park?
Epcot.
Favorite land?
Tomorrowland.
Favorite attraction?
Rock and Roller Coaster.
Interesting. Best place on property to relax and enjoy a drink or a dessert?
The observation deck on the top of the Contemporary right outside of California Grill.
Excellent. I have another bucket list item for me.
Oh, you must try.
Yeah, I have not done California Grill yet.
Really? Oh, there you go.
I know. Confessions is good for the soul. Prior to joining DVC, I know you had like 7-8 years there. How did your family do Disney back then?
That's a great question. And the interesting part is that we did it probably just like many other people. We stayed at mainly moderates to begin with. And being that for several of those trips beforehand was prior to my son. So it was just my wife, my daughter, and myself. And we loved the moderates. In fact, Port Orleans Riverside was our first resort that we've ever stayed at Disney on property. And the interesting part was that we were going to stay off site. And my wife's like, you know what, why don't we go ahead and give this a try? And I was really reluctant because I didn't want to spend the money. I'll be really honest. I was cheap. And
struggle is real.
The struggle is very real. But the thing is that with all the discounts and so on and so forth, it really wasn't that much different. So I said, okay, we'll go ahead and give this a try. So after a few moderate resort stays, you know, the fact of the matter is that we wanted to try something a little different. And then all of a sudden we started staying at some of the deluxe resorts. We started staying at the Wilderness Lodge. And the interesting part about Wilderness Lodge in that first day is I walked in, I saw the grandeur of that lobby, and to hear the music playing in the background, the smell of the fire in the fireplace. I sat down while my wife checked us in, because it was all under her name anyway. And I basically said, you know what? This is it. I love this. And so we would actually alternate between moderate resorts and deluxe resorts. And it was mainly between Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge, because at that time, the monorail resorts were all a little bit out of our price range still. And, you know, most of our trips were still only 4 or 5 nights. So it was still relatively, I don't want to say inexpensive, but it was within our budget. We did that, and I would probably say that once I started doing some extra budgeting, I realized that we were really hooked on the deluxe resorts. I realized that I could actually take that money that I was putting into deluxe resorts, and that would actually at that time be my mortgage payment for my DVC membership. And it pretty much became just a little bit above a wash, and it worked out really well for us. It just made sense at that time, since we were doing Disney trips every year, or in some great cases, it was two times a year. It just made more sense for us to really seriously consider membership.
Absolutely. If you're going to go all that time and stay in deluxe resorts, it's almost a no-brainer when you start doing the math on there. So are there any favorite family memories or stories over the years that just stick out?
Yes, I will say this story about our very first trip. You know, my daughter was like 7 at the time. We were waiting for the Share a Dream Come True parade to come down Main Street. And we sat there for like an hour beforehand. We were right there on the edge. And next thing you know, one of the cast members came up as the floats were coming by and took my daughter by the hand so she can get like personal waves, so to speak, from the princesses at the different floats, because they were in the big bubbles, so to speak. So she came back, and my daughter is a very giggly person. She came back. She's like, "Dad, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that?" They were saying hi to me all by myself. It was quite awesome. It was so cool. You know, she was just jumping up and down, that little 7-year-old girl squeal type of thing. The fact of the matter is that I think it was from that very moment that I knew that I was going to be into Disney fandom for quite some time, but not just as a fan of Disney, but to know that this is a place that I really felt that magic, as people say. I really felt like it was a place that I can go on vacation. I can leave my cares behind. I know that when I come out of that vacation, I will be very inspired. I will be very rested. I would have made awesome memories with my family. Have never looked back since. The interesting part to the whole thing is that before our first Disney vacation, we would do some small little one tank trips, as they're called, you know, somewhere where you can go there and back on a tank of gas to local parks or this, that, and the other. And while we still do that, it was a moment like that with my daughter that I realized that I needed to break away from the real world. I needed to actually take a vacation. Now it is a part of our lives. It is one of those things where I have made certain investments, such as being a DVC member, that is solely for the purpose of being able to have those opportunities to vacation with my family. Every person at my place of employment, they know I'm a Disney nut. They know that this is a big part of my life, and they know that do not call me while I'm on vacation unless the place is burning down. We all kind of chuckle about it because they always say, "Hey, you want a vacation? Yeah. Where are you going? Oh, wait, let me guess. Disney again?" I'm like, absolutely. Some things are predictable. Some things, you know, you're just going to know. The funny part about it was, is that one time I had a teammate of mine actually go down to Disney. And he came back. He's like, "Dude, I really completely see where you're coming from now. I'm never going to bug you again about it." I'm like, "Cool. I'm glad you figured it out." So, yeah, but that was just one of those. It's just one of those things.
And then the next trip, they're calling you saying, "Okay, now I need some advice on this. Can you help me plan this trip?"
Yeah. And it's not just that, but at one time I had the reputation kind of went through the ranks of my division. And when I had an executive manager actually message me and says, "Hey, I want to talk to you." I'm like, "Oh crud. What did I do?" Okay. I call him. "Yes. You know, yes, sir. How could I help you, sir?" Yeah. "So everybody's telling me you're the one I need to talk to about figuring out a plan to do a Disney vacation." "Oh yes, sure. Would you like to talk after shift?" No. "This is okay. We can talk now." I'm like, "Okay, not a problem." So you know that you've kind of gotten a reputation when, you know, a person you maybe talk to twice a year and has a distinct
Let's call Chris and get the Disney 411.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, yeah, this is a person that has a real thing to say about whether or not you stay employed. You're kind of like, yeah, you steer them right. And then when they come back and say, oh, yeah, this was an awesome trip, then you know you did something right. And
you're going, I'm still employed.
I know, yeah. Right? Not a problem.
Thank you, Mickey. You carried me.
Oh, yes. And it's a lot of fun. And it's kind of fun to have that reputation, to be someone that people can go to get an honest answer in regards to Disney vacation. My biggest thing right now is I'd love to do it. At the same time, I'd love to talk about it. I always try to make sure that people really want to hear about it before I start really geeking out on Disney stuff. Because I realize not everybody sees it the same way I do. Granted, they're probably missing out, but they don't always see it the same way that I do.
Yeah, they have a right to be wrong. That's the way I look at it. I mean, you know, I'm not going to argue with you.
I like that.
So, a couple of more questions on my list here.
Sure.
You mentioned you've stayed every place in Walt Disney World in the DVC land.
The exception of the new DVC property over at the Polynesian. While I've stayed at the Polynesian before under a regular cash reservation, I've not stayed in DVC rooms.
Okay. Have you made it out to any of the beach resorts or Grand Cal yet?
No, I haven't. And the thing is that last year we were very close on pulling the trigger on a Grand Cali stay. But because we were going to have our daughter's fiance with us, we had to kind of change our plans because it wasn't going to quite work out with five of us and the number of points that we were going to need there. So while I've been to Disneyland before, which is absolutely fabulous, I've not been able to stay at the Grand Cali. And we've talked about Vero, we've talked about Hilton Head, but we have not had the chance to try them out yet. And I look forward to the days where that comes to be.
Okay. Any love for Alani yet?
You know, I can't get my wife to get on a plane for that long of a trip. It's kind of funny because I would love to go to Alani. My brother-in-law and his family has gone to Alani and they said it's absolutely fabulous. One of my bucket list items, while we're talking about bucket list items, I would really like to visit every Disney park in the world. So far, it's you know, Alani is by itself, which is really cool. So I'm going to consider that as a bucket list. Same thing for Vero and Hilton Head. And then still also visit the different locations around the world. And my daughter, she's been fortunate enough to actually go to Disneyland Paris and absolutely loved it. But it was without us. That's okay. She brought back a lot of good pictures.
She do garbage can pictures there for you?
She did. It was absolutely it was absolutely hilarious because she actually had the person that she was with actually took a picture of her taking a picture with her camera sitting on the garbage can. And it is actually a picture of the carousel with the sun setting behind it. And it is actually my phone screensaver right now. And it's absolutely a stunning picture. My daughter is definitely taking after her old man.
Okay, another show note one required.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to go back into the Wayback Machine and dig out 100,000 pictures that I have on file right now. And I hope to definitely share some of these awesome pictures with people.
It is. And the website is really, I get guests pictures, and for longtime DVC members, I try to get my guests to show me pictures of their family when they started DVC. And then every couple of years, so we can see their kids growing up Disney. It just adds to the magic.
Oh, absolutely. And to watch my kids. In fact, the one of the funniest part is that my wife had a Facebook memory come through, and it was a picture of my son from when he was like maybe 5 or 6 years old at Disney with this awesome expression with him and one of the characters. Obviously now he's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's my don't show that picture to everybody right now.
Share.
My son's not on social media, so he's partially shielded from that sort of backlash. My son is a big Disney nut. It's just that during the times that he's not at Disney, he kind of puts on that little bit of a cloak and doesn't necessarily show his Disney side too much as a teenage boy, which I think is totally, completely normal.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things. But I will say this, though. His Disney the Disney influence that he has had really stems out and inspires him. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and mention this. He loves Epcot, and one of his favorite attractions is Living with the Land. And one time we did the Behind the Scenes tour, which I will say that if anybody really has ever wanted to try a tour but didn't want a huge long tour, wanted it to be family friendly and not necessarily a huge cost, try the Behind the Scenes tour. Well, through some of the things that he learned about composting, hydroponics, and things like that as a part of growing food, my son is a Boy Scout. In fact, he is basically just about done with earning his Eagle Scout rank.
Very nice.
And his Eagle Scout project was to basically design, create, and build a compost at his middle school. They can take waste and turn it into nutrient-rich compost for the community. And he got inspired through different things that he saw over at the Land Pavilion at Epcot.
That is exceptionally cool. Our kids just learn and grow so much from it. Every time I start hearing about other families and what their families take away from Disney, it just makes me like double down and say, I can't wait to get mine back there.
I think what a lot of people don't realize is that once you're done looking at the entertainment value of the parks, especially if you go to Epcot, you're definitely going to learn about the edutainment value, the value of being entertained while learning something significant. And I think that's what has made Epcot my favorite park, as well as my son's favorite park. I really think that when you have created a place that you can go and you can get inspired to do something that can really potentially impact a community and still actually love to go back and feel like you're entertained at the same time, you've got something big there.
Yeah, it's not just entertainment. Since joining DVC, how has vacations at Disney changed?
I'm able to afford to be able to go more often, or to be able to have more elaborate or longer vacations, or be able to share those vacations with others. And I also think that since becoming a member, I think the affordability part really comes into play these days, taking into consideration that, let's face it, every year prices at Disney go up, whether it be for tickets, whether it be for rooms, whether it be for food, even transportation, just getting down there, which obviously Disney doesn't necessarily have a handle on, but all those things cost money and the cost keeps on going upward. While prices still go up for things like our annual fees and dues and stuff like that, I feel a little bit protected because I'm still able to spend 9 to 10 days at Disney at a deluxe resort for basically less than what I would pay for those same 10 nights at a value resort. I keep that in mind in such a way where I still have the ability to do 2 trips a year. I can do those 2 trips a year if I plan them well with both my whole family, as well as I can take some time to go with my wife. And I think that's a big change because she and I have been able to do some of those trips together. When my son is like goes to camp, or my daughter is now at school doing summer classes, we can enjoy Disney a little bit differently. At the same time, with the number of trips that we have taken over the past 10 years since becoming members, we don't feel like we have to do everything. We can relax and do nothing. This past summer is a great example. There was one day we never entered a park. It was kind of by accident, but none of us regretted it. My wife and my daughter did a spa day. My son, my son-in-law-to-be, and I, we went to downtown Disney sometimes. We went to Disney Springs, and we did one of the campaigns at the Void, which was epic. We just spent a lot of time around the pool. We spent a lot of time at some great restaurants. We just really had a good time. We did it that way because that's just what we wanted to do. We didn't feel like we had to be obligated to go to a park. I think the more that you go to Disney, the more that you really want to try something other than the parks. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that has changed since we became DVC members.
I heard you say spa, and I went, there was that spa again.
and again, you know, my wife's got my daughter wrapped up into it too. So
it's just, oh my goodness. Yeah. Now you're just, forget it. It's over.
Yeah, I know. And it's, let's just leave it at that. Sometimes, okay. Sometimes as the dad, you're just going to be like, oh, I know I'm going to pay for this one way or another.
Yep. Let's look back now after 10 years into the membership. Are you still happy with Saratoga Springs?
Oh, absolutely.
As your home resort?
Absolutely. I really do like Saratoga Springs as my home resort. And, you know, as mentioned previous, we're starting to stay there more. And And again, there's no reason why we weren't staying there other than we really liked other resorts as well. But at the same time, I'm still very pleased with my membership. I don't think I would change it out for anything else if I had the option to. I still think that for dollars spent, it's very well worth it. And while there are a lot of people that think that it's, you know, not necessarily the greatest resort, I love it. I love the decor. I love the layout. I love the size. I really enjoy it there. I think it's very pretty. I think the grounds are just very well kept right by the golf course, which, well, I don't golf.
Yeah, my golf is over at Winter Summerland or Fantasia Gardens.
Yeah. I mean, someone told me that I really shouldn't be taking 10 hours to do 18 holes of golf. I'm like, well, that's just the way it rolls. So, I mean,
it takes that much time to fish all the balls out of the water, right?
Yeah. Don't. Someone's like, oh, well, it's right by the golf course. That'd be great. Yeah, for you, baby. No, I will say that Saratoga has been a great resort to own. And I still love the idea that I can go anywhere else that has availability. And that's just that flexibility just really made it
now,
for us.
Would you call Saratoga one of your favorite resorts or your favorite resort?
No, I wouldn't call it my favorite resort. And I've been asked this question before, and it's really a toss-up, because if you would have asked me this a couple of years ago, I would have said it would be a really strong contention between Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge as my favorite. And then I stayed at the villas at the Grand Floridian. And there I basically looked at my wife, I'm like, oh, you know this is going to get me in so much trouble. And she's like, what do you mean? I go, I love this resort. The fact of the matter is, I love the rooms. I love the location. Pool area is really, really nice. And the Grand Floridian just is a beautiful resort. So I will say.
And it's a quick walk to that spa.
The other spa, though. That's the thing.
The other spa. Okay. Right?
No, but so the thing is that I have three top resorts. And I would probably say, though, if I would have to say, if I had to do it all over again to pick a resort that I really more fell in love with, I would probably have to say it would be Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village. That resort is just so immersive, so beautiful and relaxing. And I mean, seriously, where else can you go and grab a cup of coffee and watch a giraffe walk by? I mean, there's something about that you just can't compare with anywhere else. I feel relaxed at the Grand. I felt really relaxed at Wilderness Lodge, but seriously, the views there, even if you don't get a Savannah view, go and stop and take a look at one of the many different viewing areas, and it's just like, oh yeah, this is awesome. So I would definitely say Jumbo or Kidani Village over at Animal Kingdom Lodge is probably going to be my favorite.
You're number one. Well, my wife is right there with you. So you're in good company there, Chris.
That's cool.
Now, does your wife or kids have a favorite resort?
My wife is going to probably say that she loved Grand Floridian, but I think she also has a tendency to really have a love for the Animal Kingdom Lodge as well. And the reason why I bring up the Grand Floridian again is that my wife is a complete monorail nut. You know, she could sit on the monorail all day long and consider it to be an awesome day. When we had our room over at the Grand Floridian Villas, she was joking with the person, said, can you give us a room with the view of the monorail? And they kind of just joked around a little bit. Well, sure enough, we walk out and you can see the monorail track where it goes past the Magic Kingdom. And she's like, that's it. New favorite resort. I could watch my monorail go by as I sit here and drink a Diet Pepsi. That's what she would say.
Now, I will have to say, when I stayed at Bay Lake and had a Magic Kingdom view, my favorite thing to do was to sit there on that balcony and watch the monorail go around the loop. Because from Bay Lake Tower, you can see that whole loop.
Very true. Especially if we were on the second to the top floor when we stayed there, and we actually had a lake view. We would go over to the Top of the World Lounge and we would just watch the monorail go by. That just made it for my wife as well. Although I will say BLT, as much as we liked it, but it wasn't necessarily our favorite resort because it's really convenient to get to the Magic Kingdom by walking, but sometimes getting to anywhere else seemed to be a little bit more convoluted. And I think they've improved it since we were there last. Transportation was a little bit sticky there at that time.
Baelic, the one bedrooms are my favorite room out there. They are my absolute favorite DVC room is the one bedroom or two bedroom there. And that's because you get that extra bathroom and the center living area is huge.
Oh, it is. That was where we were at during our stay there was a one bedroom and it was gargantuan, or it felt that way. I mean, the tall ceiling and big room
and the layout, the layout
was nice. Yeah. And that extra bathroom, it seems odd, but really, really pays off. And at the same time, you know, some of the other rooms that has that second bathroom also just well worth it. I definitely get where you're coming from on that.
Do you do anything differently after having been in this for 10 years?
Great question. You know, I could easily say the typical thing of, you know, would I do anything differently? Yes, I would buy in sooner. And so I would be able to enjoy it sooner. But I also say to myself, yeah, I joined at the right time that was right for my family because I counted a lot of the costs that were involved with being a part of this membership and the commitment that it involved. I would probably say that I wish I bought just a few more points. I wish I would have bought just like maybe another 25 or another 50 points. But at the same time, I think what I have is fine. We've never run out of points to the point where we couldn't take a vacation. But at the same time, we also sometimes supplement maybe a night at a value, like on a rival day or something like that, especially if we arrive late at night, you're just sleeping and showering. I would probably also say that while I don't think I would have chose something other than Saratoga, every once in a while, I still say to myself, I wish I would have bought Animal Kingdom Lodge as my home resort because we've stayed there the most. Point ratio is really good in the sense of, you know, normally how many points it would take to stay there. I've always been pleased there. That would probably be my only thing I would have done differently is probably bought there instead of Saratoga. But the funny part is the reason why we didn't, we were afraid of the animals because both of my kids have some pretty good allergies. We would be afraid to, you know, have the allergies be impacted by the animals being in somewhat near proximity, and we were totally wrong. You know, it's not the case whatsoever. So, you know, we tried to err on the side of caution.
Yep.
But that would be the only thing I would do differently if I could do it all over again, knowing what I know now.
What advice would you give to a prospective member who's listening to this show?
I would definitely say do your research and stay away from a lot of the rhetoric that you find out in social media. And mainly because there's a lot of members that may have had some, you know, experiences that may not have been magical. But the fact of the matter is that I think most people that find that their DVC membership hasn't been magical are usually impacted at the idea that they didn't know exactly what they were getting into. I would definitely say read the contract, read to know what you're going to get. And probably the number one thing is never, ever buy into any timeshare, DVC or not, based upon perks that will always end up changing one way, shape, or form. Knowing that your timeshare, your membership is there for your room, there is for your accommodations. And I think once you realize what you're really getting, everything else is pixie dust, and pixie dust can change. And sometimes you get more pixie dust in return. That would be my biggest thing. You can do your research, but just be careful about where you get your research from.
Very good. Very good. Now, Chris, how can the listeners connect with you following up from this show? And do you have an ask for the listeners?
Well, everybody could find me over at the Behind Your Ears podcast Facebook page, also at the WDW community page as well over on Facebook. That's where you're going to find information about my podcast, which our theme is Everybody Does Disney Differently. We also record our live streams for our podcast on Tuesdays and Thursday nights at 9:45 p.m. Eastern, and we love to interact with those that watch us. We have a wonderful community over at the WD community page where, let's put it this way, I think I've met more friends that will be longer lasting over at that particular page than almost anywhere else. And if I had an ask, I would love for people to check us out, check our show out, check it over at Apple Podcasts, give it a try. Give it a like, give it a review, and we would just like for people to give us some feedback. If you like us, let us know. If you like us, let other people know as well. And if you have any questions or comments or even would love to drop a show idea, you could also find us over at behindtheearspodcast@gmail.com.
Sounds great, Chris. Thank you for being on the show today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Chris has just been a phenomenal friend and is being a wonderful mentor. He's teaching me the art of Facebook Live, and Shelby and I are going to start Facebook Lives on Monday nights in January. So you're going to want to go ahead and like our page over at facebook.com/mydvcpoints, and you'll get notified when we go live at about 9 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays. And here's my wife with an update on the Christmas present.
This is Laura Pennycuff. I did get a gift certificate to the Grand Floridian Spa. I will take one for the team and test out the spa.
The interesting part here is word seems to be getting around among the MyDVC Points production team. And Valerie from episode 2 and a couple of other females on the show have somehow taken it upon themselves to book appointments at the spa so that they can do a review for the podcast. To Valerie's husband, Bill, sorry about this if I ended up creating a monster. What have I gotten ourselves into? Thank you for listening, your positive feedback and comments, and your great reviews on iTunes. I am just humbled by what I read. Thank you so much. Have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.